Strategic
conference will
talk about strategic acceleration. Our book that we're reviewing, which is fascinating, is all Get Out. Every time I work on it, I get more excited. I go back, redo what I did the week before, and start over. And it's giving me incredible insight. So I'm suggesting to all of you that you take the same kind of path. In other words, don't just, you know, you can work week by week, but always go back to the week before and kind of do a review of what you set up for yourself before and kind of fine-tune it, because I'm finding that I'm getting more and more insight the more I get into the book, and it's helping me go back and reevaluate some answers I might have given at the past exercises. So by this week, we should have already done completed exercises 1 through 9. 1 through 6 were the exercises we completed for the first week. Last week, we talked about a further review of clarity, and we had exercises 7, 8, and 9. And so I want to just review some of that. Some of you in the field, if you have those, that's great. You're more than welcome to step in and share. Did anyone want to share outright with doing their SWOT analysis, documenting your visions, purpose, and value, and then creating your recipe for clarity? Anyone want to share that? I always open it up to you guys before I take over. All right. No one's ready to jump in, or they forgot how to unmute. I'm getting a little feedback with kind of raspiness. Is anyone hearing that? It's echoing in my ear. That's all I'm telling you. Okay, she says you... Okay, loud and clear, good. All right, so if I can put up with my echo if you guys can. Okay, so let's jump in and talk about the SWOT analysis, exercise 7. Now, remember we discussed clarity and how critical clarity was for all of us, because without clarity, you go nowhere. And I found in my life that clarity wasn't, you know, as clear as I thought I was being distracted by a lot of things. And we're going to talk about focus today, so you'll see how distraction plays a role. But the important thing is having clarity on what's most important to you, what your vision is, and developing that vision. And sometimes it takes more than one exercise. In fact, sometimes it takes, you know, 2 months to get to determine your vision. But I'm very, very much imploring all of you to put the time and energy. And I know this is a hard time of year to focus on this, but it's so crucial for you, because you don't want to start off 2012 behind the eight ball. It's kind of like when I went to one of my board meetings, 3 weeks ago. I said, okay, so when are we going to get this budget done? And one of the board members said, well, Mary Jo, it looks like we're busy in December, maybe January. And I go, how can you do a budget in January? You're already in the year. You know, none of this made sense to me. So, I mean, but that's how we think. We think as people that, oh, yeah, we can put that off. You know, we're procrastinators. And I'm just suggesting that you want to have your best possible year ever in 2012 in many aspects of your life. Then you got to get in alignment with what that looks like. What is your vision? Dig into you. You know, work on yourself. And I think Patrick's call this week can help you with that as well. But the most important thing is that we work on ourselves. And the last 2 weeks, I've given some great reviews of strategic acceleration to allow all of you to kind of work through a lot of stuff that might be blocking you in terms of realizing your vision, all right, and honing in on it and being really specific about it. Because, you know, you stay in, you know, meandering generalities, and your life is going to keep looking like it's been looking. You know, our concept here is, how do I shift? How do I create something better? How do I maximize my results? And I really believe that that's what, you know, from a Christian perspective, that's what the Lord wants in our life, every single day of our life. He didn't create us to fail. He created us to create greatness, because we're a reflection of Him. So the important thing for us is to step into that greatness. And to do that, we have to be clear. We have to have clarity. And clarity is what, you know, he emphasizes, like half the book is just written about clarity, because that's so important for us to have. Now, one of the things about achieving that clarity and really understanding ourselves is the fact that we need to understand where we are today, right? And looking at, you know, why we might be stuck, you know, and why we're not going where we want to go, you know. And so we need to be really clear that, you know, we want to achieve our vision, but what do we need to have a real good view of what where we are today. And a SWOT analysis gives us that view. And the SWOT analysis, a lot of you are familiar with this because remember when we had Wayne Badavinas, for those of you who have been in Manitech for a while, he actually came out with this as part of his how he worked with companies. So SWOT analysis isn't a new idea. It isn't Tony Jerry's idea. This thing's been around for a long time. But a SWOT analysis is your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats in your life. So you look at that and you know, what are some of the strengths you have? And this is about a personal analysis. You look at yourself. What are the strengths? And I kind of did it twofold. You can opt to do this as well if you want to go back. I looked at this not just from Mary Jo's perspective, who I am, but I also kind of looked at, I did a second line that was kind of an analysis of Manitech. So I looked at strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats in Manitech, and then I also looked at strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to me. And it was fascinating that, you know, drawing that line in a paper and separating those out. But, you know, strengths with yourself are just characteristics that you have that you acknowledge in yourself. What do you believe to be who you are? And this, a lot of times, this we're not really honest about this, so I tend to ask people to, you know, talk to other people around you as well so that you have clarity that what you think are strengths truly are the strengths that you have. Because it's important that you're honest with yourself here, okay? So you want to write down your strengths, and I don't need to go through mine, but I'm just an experience around it. Each one of you need to grab onto that. If you looked at strengths of Manitech, the kind of strengths I wrote down in the Manitech area would be things like our technology in Ambertos, you know? A technology that's been called the greatest breakthrough in human nutrition. I mean, utilizing that language. And this is language that we hear all the time through Manitech and greatest technology breakthrough in human nutrition, you know. And our vitamin strategy with real food technology, you know, that you know, Phytomatrix is just an awesome product and incredible strategy, and that's a strength Manitech has. Ending global malnutrition is a gigantic strength. Social entrepreneurship, a tremendous strength. So there's these kind of things, and I think isolating those with respect to Manitech will give you a better clarity on why you might be remiss and how you're approaching this with other people. Because if you're going off on tangents, you're not going to be emphasizing the strengths of who Manitech is, and you want to make sure you're always putting your best foot forward. So that's important, too, in doing your business. But then you got want to, you know, this is about you. What are your strengths, you know, and then what are your weaknesses? And some of the weaknesses that you know, that I look at myself, I say sometimes, you know, I'm not as organized as I'd like. I'm not as good in my time management as I'd like. I feel like there's a lack of discipline, especially this time of year because there are a lot of, you guys have distractions this time of year? Oh my gosh, how many trees did we put up? Christmas shopping, all this stuff. Now, we can call those distractions or we can call them, you know, seasonality, right? But nonetheless, there's a lot of things. And when you get into that Christmas spirit, a lot of times, you know, you just feel a little more carefree about what's happening in your life. And you sometimes forget, wait a minute, if I truly had a job, my husband still went to work at 6 o'clock this morning, and he's going to come home at 6 o'clock tonight. I mean, what allows me to have the freedom to do whatever I want is I'm in network marketing. But that freedom is freedom. That's something we should respect, not take advantage of. In other words, don't abuse it. And so I need to be putting my time and energy into my quote-unquote work as well. And that means dedicating myself very intently at this time of year to help other people. So we need to be careful of the weaknesses that we've established, you know, and things that we have. And sometimes if I look at Manitech, some of the weaknesses of Manitech, we can see those things out there, you know, that are evident to us, like, you know, perhaps the Texas AG and some of that kind of stuff, the weaknesses in terms of financially right now, they're not as strong as they've been in the past, but they still are financially well off. I mean, they still are positive cash flow and they're doing well in many regards. So there's just, you know, those kind of things that are out there. And then opportunities, you know, what are the opportunities we have and what are the opportunities I have, you know, and part of it is maybe I'm not delegating enough. Some of the things that I wrote for myself is that I think I need to be part of a mentor group. I want to develop my goal for 2012 is to have a mentor group, and I'm looking around and evaluating who are the people that I'd most like to be into that mentor group with me. So maybe three or four of us on our mentoring group that we really help, you know, catapult ourselves. And I'm going to try to bring forth this concept also at the presidential meeting in Hawaii, because I think it's crucial. I think like minds need to work together, and they need to support each other like almost in a mastermind group. And I restarted, for some of you that are familiar with mastermind, I restarted my mastermind group. We kicked it off last Wednesday, and we're now on calls every single Wednesday night. And these are people that are not in Manatech. They're outside Manatech, but that's great for me because it really helps support me in being the best I can be and holding me accountable and making sure I have, again, it adds to the clarity of the direction I'm going in. It doesn't allow me to waffle, waver, hide, because we can hide out really well. So that's another thing. So that's a huge opportunity as a mastermind group or mentoring group, whatever. So there's just a lot of ways that we have opportunities out there with Manatech. You got, I looked at marketing, in Manatech, opportunities in marketing. The Hispanic market is terrific. I've reactivated some of my people in Mexico. The 20-year-olds with Navigate, I think the Navigate program is perfect for the young, and it's critical that we start building youth in Manatech. Prospecting up, I'm still totally committed to that concept. And in fact, there's a call this week. Todd Falcone is doing a call on prospecting up. I think I'll have Lydia send out the information on that if you want to participate in that. And it's going to be very similar to what I did on the Monday call, I believe. So if you're, I don't know that he's going to do anything. You're going to hear from him specifically, and I know he's going to be trying to sell his materials. But it might help you just to get an idea of what prospecting up's all about. And so there's new. The whole concept of the newness of what we have and opportunities that we have in Manatech is good. And then the final part of SWOT was the threats. And there are threats out there. And the threats to me are in my business. If I'm looking at one of the biggest threats that I have in my business is that I'm my time commitment, because I'm so strongly committed to two foundations right now and in my church activities. And I know that's a threat. Now, don't make your threats right or wrong, because if you start making them right and wrong, you're not going to understand the threats. Threats are not something that's wrong, like you could say, spending quality time with your family. That's a threat. It's not wrong. You want to spend quality time with your family. But you need to acknowledge that some of those things are out there, because that's the only way you're going to get control over management of them, if you look at them as what's holding you back from achieving what you want to achieve in Manatech. Okay? So great analysis to really get your current condition. And why is it important to understand with clarity your current position? Because if you don't understand your current position, you're never going to be able to see what gap you have to cross to get to where you want to be. And that we'll discuss more of today. Exercise number 8 was documenting your vision's purpose and value. And this is fascinating to me because I got confused at first, but I finally fell into it, and I think it really was awesome. Because, we first of all have to build our vision, and vision was exercise 5. And some of you may go back, and I had to get more clear with my vision, because I have my vision is encompasses a lot of things. It's not isolated to, one thing. And I needed to kind of work on it to get better clarity, because it started running on and on and on. And I just encourage you to go back and keep working on it and fine-tuning it, because that's going to be the most critical kickoff point. If you don't have your vision straight, none of the rest of this work really works for you. So you have to get your vision straight. And the purpose of this purpose and value analysis is you already had your vision and why you wanted your why, right? So you look at why my vision is important to me. Why is the vision important to me? Well, for some of you, your vision might be, my vision is to be platinum presidential by, 2013 or something. I don't know what date you might have picked. Some of you might have picked it by January. But most of you are out there somewhere with a long-term concept, because that's vision is longer term. It's not a vision of tomorrow. It's a vision of, what do you see? Maybe some of you have chose 5 years from now. But what is that vision? And then why is it important to you? Well, for some of you, might be why it's important is because it's going to provide financial security, long-term financial security for me and my family. And don't downplay that. That's a gigantic issue. A gigantic issue today, more so than even it was, 5 years ago. Of course, it was equally as gigantic 5 years ago. We just hadn't blown up the bubble that we created in this country. I mean, this was always what happened in our economy. It was always going to happen. The seeds have been planted for 10, 15 years. 20 years, I'll say. But the idea that it happened now, we now have greater knowledge of how important it is to have long-term financial security because we've seen how devastating this recession has been to all of us. So the important thing is like what that vision is. Why is it important to me? And then the other question becomes, why the success of my vision is important to others. So what's the purpose of your vision? And then why is it important to others? The success of my vision is important to others. Why? When you're successful with your vision, how is it going to impact others? And one of the things that was really cool about this development, you know, in writing this out is that I saw that the fact that I related for the first time in a real, real way the fact that we truly will end the global malnutrition. Some of you look at what Manitech's doing with this and you can just say, oh yeah, right, that's a great goal, but never going to happen. You might have a disbelief there. This exercise put it really clear in my head about, you know, why it's important to other people is because kids are dying one every 6 seconds. And what can be more important than life itself in terms of what we can do for somebody when they live here on Earth is to help restore their life. As Jim Hester said, that's the Hester Ministries, he said, I want to help these children survive because it's the only way we're going to be able to get to them to share the gospel. And that's how he put it. Obviously, for those of us who are Christians, that's the number one importance, is to share that gospel and help lead people to Christ. But the idea is that if they're not alive, we don't have that opportunity. So important for us to look at the life we can help bring to people, both here and forever, if we have the opportunity to really become that social entrepreneur and work hard at getting the word out about the Real Switch Challenge and everything else. So that I really got a connectiveness in looking at that, why the success of my vision is important to others, because number one, it's going to save lives and save literally millions of lives, right? So it's important to others for that reason. My vision is important to others because it's going to help populate churches in Brazil, which is one of my foundations. Number three, it's going to help us continue to expand my coaching services in my Changing Environments Foundation, right? And number four, it's going to be critical because my outreach program at my church is suffering dramatically today because of the lack of finances, that things are happening out there and, you know, churches are being hurt because people aren't, you know, their donations and tithing is cut back when there's not a lot of income. So we see that that's crippling a lot of churches, and what a benefit it would be for me to reach my vision, because it's going to allow me to be free with all those things. And the other thing that it's important to others, I can also look at, which is the least important to me, which is a funny thing that I came to wrap myself around, was the fact of leaving a legacy. And that was not as important to me because I really believe in the legacy I need to leave is something greater than my own family. I don't want to make millions of dollars and leave it to my kids. I want to be that flow-through mechanism that flows it through and creates other things with it. So that's my goal out there. So it really was a legacy that wasn't a family legacy as much as it's not about Mary Jo, it's about making sure that the foundations I'm involved in have no problem with, you know, 10 years, 30 years, 100 years down the road. So my master plan now is not about what happens between now and when I die. It's like, what's going to happen 200 years after I die? Is my legacy still going to be living on? Not in my name, but the fact that what I've created has helped fund something that's so beautiful and continuing to create results. Okay, so just some ideas for you to start getting, and all of that brings on clarity, and then you create your own recipe for clarity, so you build that box. And I just, again, ask everybody to jump in and do that. I know we're spending a lot of time with it, but it's critically important if you want to create results that clarity exists. And I think these exercises are invaluable for everybody to reach that kind of clarity. And the insight you'll get from yourself that you may not have recognized before, you'll come to new realizations around that. And I just, again, would say this is an invaluable exercise. This book gives you insight you wouldn't have otherwise. So get to work on those things, okay? So make sure you get those exercises done, because you're falling behind if you haven't done if you haven't done them yet, you need to get moving, because we're jumping ahead and going at a pace. We have 2 weeks left to this week and next week, and we're going to be finishing the book. So make sure you get to work on those. And it's not going to be any easier next week, is it? Why? Because next week is going to lead right into Christmas, so we want to make sure we get them done. All right, so today we're going to talk about focus. I mean, we're going to make the assumption now that everybody's got the clarity down. Clarity is right there for you. You've done your clarity box. You've done your, so you're all really crystal clear on your vision, the purpose, the why, all those kind of things, your strengths, your weaknesses, all of that. So now it's about creating your focus blueprint, because the clarity equation is done for you. And focus is the opposite of distraction, and it's important for us to realize that. Because it's not just about focus being making a to-do list. It's about ridding ourselves of the concept of what's getting in our way. What are our distractions? We want to limit those. And if you start looking at your life, you can really see how many distractions we have. I put a quote in the outline from John Maxwell. He says, "Learn to say no to the good so you can say yes to the best." I thought that was really clear. And it's about getting away from good and seeking out great. And once you're able to focus on your vision, you're going to be able to execute on it. And that's what's so important, is to focus on your vision. You have to have the vision clear, and that's what's going to allow you to help separate out the distractions from other things. And, what is focus? Focus is a skill that has to be learned, polished, and practiced. So don't think of focus as a temporary thing. Focus is a location to kind of aim towards. It's something that we all fight for, and it's something that we can all achieve, but it's a skill. And we need to learn it, we need to polish it, and we need to practice it. And it's a mental skill, so it's a thinking skill, so it has to be learned and polished and practiced, and it has to be acquired through mental discipline. And some of us don't like discipline, we don't like that word, we like to be undisciplined, we're creative types, and I'm relating to those of you who are promoters in this group like I am, and sometimes discipline, we feel like structure gets in our way, rules were made to be broken, some of us live that life because we just have that freedom, we want that freedom, but the idea of focus is so crucial for us to develop these personal disciplines to create the best possible results. And there are four steps to acquiring better focus, and it's the same thing we went through in our first week of this, reviewing this book. It's the effectiveness ladder. Number one, what's the steps to acquiring better focus? First of all, you have to be aware of the need for focus. Number two, you have to clarify the need to improve your focus skills. Number three, you have to focus on improving your skills and then practice. And then number four, execute a solution and make it become part of a habit, creating the habit, the focus habit. Isn't that great? Create your focus habit. So step one, becoming aware of the need for focus. How do you do that today? Well, the suggestion is this, that pure time management is not a solution in itself, because it doesn't address the mental distractions we have. Our brain is constantly, and why do we have distractions? Because our brain is built to constantly seek out input. And today we have a world of phenomenal input. Isn't this in an information age? I mean, you can get on the computer and you could stay there. That's why some of you can get on the computer and all of a sudden 2 hours pass by and you don't even recognize that 2 hours have passed. Because we get massive amounts of input that come in, and our brain's seeking that, and we're gobbling up all this bits of data, and most of it's kind of meaningless to us. It might be meaningful in the moment, but it's meaningless in terms of our vision for our life. And we're not distinguishing that. We're playing a game of, I can hide behind this and pretend I'm busy because I'm on the internet. I can allow things to capture my attention. What's the number one thing in our society that has grabbed onto us in this way? Anyone know? What's the number one thing that has grabbed us over the last 40 years? It's two letters, and it's called TV, television. We want outside entertainment. We sit in front of the tube. It's unbelievable how much wasted time is put in front of a television. It's unbelievable. It's constant. And I can say this because part of it's me. I mean, I'm very limited. I like sports, but sometimes I allow sports to control my life. In other words, I give it, it's like really bad news that sports become so important that I can sit in front of a TV and I can watch college basketball and football, and Sunday becomes football from the time I get home from church about 1 o'clock until sometimes 10 o'clock at night. And it doesn't mean I'm not sitting on the couch doing other work and, you know, preparing outlines and doing reading books and doing Christmas cards and other things. So it's not, I rarely, if ever, just watch TV. It's kind of a back, but it's a distraction. Imagine that. How focused can you be on what you're really doing when you have this distraction in the background? So I could have a lot higher level of focus if I didn't have a distraction in the background. And, you know, some of the things you watch are just, you know, so we have to be careful of that. And today also, another one is the computer, internet. We allow those. So start looking at what are the distractions in your life. What are you allowing to cause distractions? And evaluate them, because you can always justify. Can we not get into justifications of why we allow these distractions? Oh, my gosh. We are the number one justifiers of anything that we choose to do in our life, because we don't want to be wrong. We don't want to be disciplined. So we can justify the distractions. So every time something comes into our mind that makes you take you away from what you're doing in the moment is a distraction. And what he tells us to do, and I think it's excellent, one of your exercises for next week, and it's really for, he asks you to do it for 2 weeks, but, you know, we're moving on in the book, so definitely do it this week. Start today. And exercise 10 in the book is keep a focus journal for 2 weeks. So I've attached that focus journal to the outline, so each of you can take that and put it by your, on your desk, by what you're doing, and to just watch yourself. And I think you're going to need it. You're really going to need a legal pad to keep track of all the distractions that come into your life. And it's so critical to go through this exercise, because if you don't do this exercise, you're not going to go through step one to change. Remember, what's the number one step to change is awareness. Awareness first. If you're not aware, you're never going to change. So you've got to be aware of it, and that's what the journal is, okay? Awareness of it. Step two is clarify the need to improve your focus skills. And how do we do that? Well, once you take care of the journal, now you can go back in the journal and see the different things. Now, you're going to use your journal to clarify your need. And you're going to start looking back at your journal, and you're going to see, where did I not complete the things that I chose to complete? Where did I not get things done that I wanted desperately to get done? Why did I not talk to 5 new people every day last week when that's the commitment I made? What got in the way of me completing what I committed to doing? Now you can start seeing the pain around why you're not moving forward in Manatech, why you're not going to meet the vision that you've created for your life. Because these distractions are what's totally taking you off course. So you can start seeing what changes you need to make. You can clarify the need that you have to create, to improve your focus skills. So that's a critical part. So exercise 11 is critical. At the end of this week, I would suggest on Sunday, you go back and do exercise 11 so that you pick up that journal and you start looking at all the distractions in your life and the price that you paid. Because remember, our behavior doesn't change unless we do a cost-benefit analysis. And some of you can justify. Again, we get into justification. When you find yourself trying to justify, all right away just kind of go, bingo, there I go again, trying to justify my behavior. Well, but I needed to go grocery shopping. Oh, bingo. How could that have been done better? How could you have used that in your spare time instead of in the midst of a day where you made the commitment to prospect? Or if you chose to go grocery shopping, bingo, why didn't I prospect while I was grocery shopping, right? I was out and about. I could have achieved both results, but I allowed grocery shopping to be a distraction to what I committed to creating. So critical for us to, right, again, do that analysis. Step three in moving forward on our focus is focus on improving our skills and then practice. So the nature of the practice regarding focus is mental, remember? So mental. So to-do lists, some of you go, well, I just have a to-do list, so I'm handling it that way. No, to-do lists are good for trying to accomplish better time management. But the problem with a to-do list is that they're not allowing you to really focus on the highest leverage activities And we're going to review what high leverage activities are in a moment. They just are a busy bee list. Did you ever look at your to-do list and see, oh my gosh, it's about busy bee. It's about how I keep busy with my time. An example might be, well, I wanted to prepare a PowerPoint. Well, PowerPoint might be beneficial for your business, but what's the highest, best use of your time is prospecting, is going out prospecting. So we justify, and this happens in Manatech and in network marketing all the time. I have people that spend endless hours, maybe 2 days, 3 days, drafting a flyer. How many have experienced that? 2 to 3 days drafting a flyer. When so many of you could just send an email to Mary Jo and say, Mary Jo, could you send me a great flyer you have on this? Or send it to your upline. You don't have to go cross-line, you can go up. I mean, there are 101 ways that you can limit the amount of time that you spend on things like that by contacting somebody who's already created this before, who might have a whole folder full of 100, you know, different little, you know, flyers that you could use. But no, you want to do it because you can do it the best, right? And so 3 days later, you haven't communicated to one new person about the incredible benefits of Manatech, but you have a really beautiful flyer. Whew. Is this something that you guys can relate to, right? So to-do lists are okay, but the problem is that they don't get you into your high leverage activities. Past, present, and future is another area that we all need to work on. Past, present, and future are things that really hold us back. And why is that? Because we focus. If we focus on past, and how many of us get stuck in past? A lot of us. And past is a killer. It'll be the death knell for many people, and it has been in the past the death knell for many people. Because the past, you can't do anything to change the past, can you? I mean, what is the past to us? Past is a series of events that have happened in our life that we can learn from. But we can't change the past. But yet, so many people want to live in the past. They talk about the past. They talk about all the things. And I'll just read a little. It says, the negative influence of the past foster anger and second-guessing, which themselves often create blame and an inability to see things the way they really are. They lock us in a preconception of what life is because of what has happened in the past. The lesson in this is, learn from the past, but leave blame and resentment behind. Whenever you hear if-then words coming from your mouth or the mouths of others, stop and take heed. And that's these kind of terminology is going to disrupt your focus and distract you from any kind of meaningful activities going forward. So the past eats us alive. And the future can prevent the same problem for us. What we want to be doing is focusing on the now, in the present. Future is our vision, but we need to focus on the now to reach that vision. The only thing in life that we truly can control is what we do from moment to moment. As Patrick Dean calls it, he says we need to live in the moment. We need to look at our moment to moment and look at the highest and best use of what we can create in the moment. And this is a quote from the book. He says, focus is found in the ability to block out all the things we don't like about yesterday and the things we worry about tomorrow. And to do the next correct thing we need to do today. If I could get people to just do that, if I could be the leader I need to be to just help my people just do that, we would create miracles in this life. The differences in performance would be off the charts. So understand that past and future are two of the biggest issues for us, for most people, in terms of distraction. So what we need to do is acknowledge that and see that so that we understand what's holding us back. And our habits are what really, everything you can control about your life happens as a result of our habits. So step 4 becomes execute your solution and make it second nature. In other words, develop a solution. How do I prevent distractions in my life? What do I need to be doing on a daily basis? What is my discipline around that so I prevent distractions? So what it could be if you're stuck in your past, what kind of solution could you have for that? The minute it comes up in your head, you focus on in the moment. What can I do in the moment? And you ask that question, what am I doing in the moment? So that you release the past. Same with when you start worrying about the future. Some of you linger and worry about it. I have people every day worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Can I pay rent? Can I do that? People get so concerned about that. Well, you know what? The only way you can solve that problem is getting in the moment and action today in the moment. Worrying about it gets you absolutely nowhere. Taking on a belief that you're going to conquer it and move forward in the moment is what changes the result. But if you want to keep worrying about it, you're going to stay stuck. So you need to come up with habits, behaviors that define your personality, your relationships, your effectiveness. So you need to develop those habits to get the most superior results you can. And we acquire new habits that are going to support us. And what do new habits do? They displace bad habits. They displace old habits. And improving your focus skills is absolutely no different. Focus has to become an exceptional new habit for you. And that's where so many of us fall apart. So this is crucial, people. Focus is absolutely critical. And how do I determine if I've reached that step where I have put in place habits? And what you want to do is list those habits. What are the new habits that you're going to put in your life? Everyone's different because we all have different distraction issues, but the habits can look similar. But how do I know that I am really developing that? The way that you know that you have started moving in that direction is there's four strategic facts. Number one, you have fewer distractions in your life. So when you do your distraction journal, you're going to find out, wow, look at what I created this week compared to last week. Some of you sometimes get this because, when you go to Manifest, you guys come back on fire about Manatech. And the first week back from Manifest, you create phenomenal results in your life. Why is that happening? Because you stay totally focused because something turned you on fire and you got emotionally convicted about it. But the minute the emotion wore off, all of a sudden you allowed the distractions. You lost focus. And the third week after Manifest and the fifth week after Manifest and 3 months after Manifest, all of a sudden what happened? And why is that? I'm going to suggest that the emotionalism left you and somehow because of that you allowed your focus to drift. So we need to stay on focus. People that create incredible results stay on focus no matter what. I remember when I was first doing Manatech full-time, when those checks came in, $124. I'll never forget it. I was doing Manatech full-time, and 5 months into doing Manatech full-time, I wasn't one of those like Jet who got a $10,000 check. I was one of those like Mary Jo that my residual income check was $264. Now, my star bonus check was better, but my $264 after 4 months or 5 months doing Manatech full-time did not float my boat. It wasn't keeping me very interested, was it? But I didn't allow it to be a distraction. Do you notice how even our checks can be a distraction? Why would my check be a distraction? Because then I would start worrying about whether this is going to work and worrying about the future and worrying about... How many of you do that with Manatech? If I would have allowed that kind of thought process to enter into my picture, it would have totally distracted me from doing what I knew I had to do on a daily basis to create the results I knew were out there to be created. But could have I allowed it to distract me? Absolutely. It's a choice, people. But we got to build habits around it to stop those distractions. So critical for us to do that. Critical to get in focus. Focus is, and you can't be on focus unless you have clarity, right? If you don't have clearness around your vision and you don't understand that clarity equation, you're never going to be able to get in focus because you have nothing to focus on. And so that's why that clarity chart is so important to lay the foundation so that now you can have something that you can truly focus on. All right, finding, now the next step is finding focus and producing real results, all right? And let's talk about that. Think of focus not just as something you do, but also somewhere you go. So it's like a location. And here's a quote out of the book. He goes, focus can also be a location. And when you find it, you'll have what I call strategic leverage. Strategic leverage is produced when you organize your goals and zero in on activities that produce real results. This is awesome because this is now about highest and best use of your time. Because when you focus, when you have clear location, then all of a sudden you can start having clarity around what's going to produce those results the fastest, and all of a sudden that vision is going to be pulling you forward because you're going to be activating the highest and best use of your time to create the incredible results. How do we locate focus? Well, let's talk about it. And this comes from, I think you guys have probably experienced, if you've been around me long enough, the Life is Art is the name of a book. And I can't remember the author right now off the top of my head, but it's a great book, Life is Art. And in that book, there was a concept about getting a real good picture of your current reality and where you're going, you know, the picture of where you're going. And that's the same thing that Thomas Geary talks about in his book. I mean, Tony Geary, sorry. Robert Fritz was the author. Thank you, Lydia. And thanks, somebody probably emailed that into us. So Robert Fritz wrote the book, Life is Art. But anyway, in that book, he showed this gap between where we are, our current reality, and where we want to go. And that's really what Tony Geary's talking about. He's talking about, this is our current situation. We have clarity on where we are. Remember, we did the clarity exercise, and we talked about our current circumstances, our SWOT analysis, all building into current circumstances, the clarity on that, right? Our current conditions, and we have a gap between that and our visions. And clarity helps us in terms of, you know, pulling effect that gets us through the gap faster. But the problem is, too, that if we fail with focus, we will not be what? We will not be doing the most significant things we need to do every day to expedite the speed of us getting to where our vision is. How many of you want expedited speed to get to your vision? I hope all of you are raising your hands. All of you are saying yes to yourself at this point. Because clearly we want to get to what is going to create the highest and best results in our life as fast as we can. And the way to do that is to have focus on what? The things that have the highest leverage, our strategic leverage, our actions that create the greatest results. So what's important into understanding the gap, and in that gap is where 100% of our focus is in the gap, as well as all our strategies, our objectives, our higher leverage actions are all in that gap. Everything that we need to be doing is in that gap. So we need to first get clarity on our current conditions. To understand your current conditions, you have to gather two sets of data, strategic positives, the strengths you possess that most powerfully impact your success, five areas to explore, competitive advantage, and I just wrote down Manatech has plenty. We have, you know, we talked about that a little bit in the SWOT analysis. Our history, what's our history? 17 years as a company, satisfaction, phenomenal health. Incredible income results. We see that everywhere. It may not happen to you personally, but we see it all around us, so we know it can happen. We have a belief system that we know it's there to be had. We need to choose it. Strategic principles, provide monthly newsletters. What principles do we have? Strategic principles are positives for us. Like I started looking at my strategic principles. I provide monthly health newsletters to everybody. I do weekly calls. I do free weekly coaching. I have websites. On and on. You can start doing that. And strategic opportunities. What are strategic opportunities that we talk about? Strategic opportunities for us, and I'm going to just give you a little write-up in the book. These are choices you should pursue that will add value to your product or service, capitalize on your gifts and strengths, and better meet customers' needs. So what are the ways we can better meet customer needs? You know, you need to look at what those are. How can I better meet my customer needs? Because this is a customer business. This is also a business of building our business builders in our organization. How can we support them the best we can? We can help support them by getting them on calls like the one with Patrick Dean to help them understand themselves better. Because personal development, remember, we're only as successful as our personal growth. So we can only grow in our success as we grow in our person. So we want to help support people in their personal development as well. So these are important things to start looking at with some of the greatest values we have. So we have strategic opportunities that we can place people in. And those are our positives. Our strategic negatives are basically we look at, you know, what about the complaints we get from our not only our associates, our business builders out there may have complaints. You know, what's going on so we can listen to them. Factors that contribute to failure, we want to evaluate those as well. Our customer complaints, people complaining about products or things like that, our competitive opinion, our failure factors. And what are failure factors? Failure factors can be that those issues that could relate to price, service, or inability to communicate value or your unique selling position. And we spent a lot of time in that first call talking about communicating value. I believe that was in the first call we did. So look back and relate back to our first call. Because we tend to go into price. And if you're stuck into that still, you're really stuck. That's scarcity mentality. What is value? It's about our ability to communicate value. So we need to know top issues that could cause us to lose whatever we're working for. Is those are failure factors. And really isolate so we really understand them. It's important to really be understanding of those. And so exercise 12 is getting clarity on current conditions. And so that's an important exercise for us to do for next week. And then he went into an analysis, and I think this is, we're almost done. People hang on with me for a few more minutes. Many goal setting, and I did this for years. Our goal setting guru is Hugh Smart. You remember? Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. You know, those are the SMART concepts of building goals. And I still build my goals around that, and I think they're good. But what his complaint was that we organize our SMART goals around segmenting different areas of our life, family, professional, financial, physical, spiritual. And what's the reason that we do that when we set goals? The reason is because we want everybody to build balanced lifestyle. But the problem with that is our life is really one life. It's not five lives. We live one life. This is coming from Tony. He says, when we organize our goals into categories like these, it opens the door to the possibility of investing too much time in activities that don't have much impact of achieving the results wanted. And I think there's some truth to that. So he talks in terms of building a strategic plan. A strategic plan is topped by the vision, which is supported by three focus tiers. And those focus tiers will collectively produce the power to propel us across the gap. And the three focus tiers are, number one, our strategic goals. And so we need to draft strategic goals. And this is going to be our exercise 13. And our strategic goals, you can read the, you know, that's part of it attached on the goal, on the outline, but let me help you a little bit with that. Our strategic goals are goals about creating conditions that produce unique competitive advantages that come together that supports the successful execution of our vision. So our strategic goal isn't to reach, you know, find my four partners or reach national executive presidential. Those aren't strategic goals because those aren't creating conditions. A strategic goal would be a goal around building value, a goal that says, you know, I'm totally committed to investing my energy in meeting people's felt needs. I have a goal about building extensive value in the Manatech experience. I have a goal in communicating effectively social entrepreneurship as the answer to our economic and social plight. I have a goal about communicating we are, Manatech is, the best approach to attacking our healthcare crisis. Or you could say is a part of the best approach to attacking our healthcare crisis. However you want to delineate that. But are you following me, people? Those are strategic goals. So they're bigger, they're broader, they're encompassing, but they allow you to focus on the critical nature of what your vision really is all about. And then you get into your operational goals, and those are specific objectives that lead you to successfully reach your strategies. So what would be an objective for me to reach those strategies? Well, something that would be something like a little bit longer term, like I'm going to find four people who absorb that social entrepreneurship concept and become my partners on or before March 1st, 2012. That might be an operational goal. right? Tier one is long-term, kind of overall, while the objectives here are to take place kind of in the present. So they have a more, you might put together national, executive, presidential, those goals, because that would be evidence of you hitting your strategic goals. And then action goals is your third step, which are the mini objectives. What am I going to do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, that are going to support me meeting my operational goals? So you're breaking it down bite-size by bite-size. Strategic are the long, lofty kind of goals of overall strategic. Okay, number two, operational is effectively what am I doing over the next 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and then action goals are specific daily and weekly goals. And that ends the call today, because your last exercise to do is to build a strategic plan. And that strategic plan is crucial for all of us. And then next week, we're going to talk about execution, the last part of the book. So catch up if you're falling behind. Get to work on these things, because they build on each other, as you can see week by week what's happening. And I want all of you to have the absolute most awesome results in 2012. So let's work together to make sure that happens. And one of the best ways to do that is participate in all of this to achieve the best possible results. And I could send you all my answers to all of this, but it, you know, because somebody asked that question, but that doesn't help you. You've got to build it yourself. The whole purpose of going through this book and going through these exercises is to allow everybody to participate for themselves, to create the highest and best results for yourself. But if you have some questions about it, I'm here and ready to answer those for you. I want each and every one of you to be as absolutely successful as possible and to reach your vision. But it's going to take you to go through the exercises, because nothing happens just by chance and circumstances. It happens because of choice and commitment. All right, everybody? So any last-minute questions or issues? I love you all. This is a great book. I hope it's helping you and supporting you. And dig into the outline. Dig into those exercises. Get caught up. And we'll talk again next Monday. Have a great week. Talk to you.